When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Welcome, guys. Another episode of The Check-In Live. We're here in Los Angeles at the W Los Angeles here in West Hollywood. And I've got a good friend of mine who I've grown to know over the years in a very blessed way to get to know you and to be able to tap into you. We've got D Style Bell. Now, I know for me that means something.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe for those people that follow you, it means something. But for those that don't know, right, who is Style Bell? And why does the name Style Bell and what Style Bell stands for mean so much for people all around the world?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, like, thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Yes, right? Sir.
And it's funny how you added the Style Bell there in the beginning, right? And I think the interesting thing is my mom did name me Style. And when you grow up with very humble beginnings, like, style don't really add up, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you was the kid, I had the patches in the pants, you know, and things like that. So I didn't really grow up being able to really address what my name stood for. But when I think about it in a very simple way right now, after 38 years of living, I think it's just not my definition of what be is not just decoration. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times when people see, like, you and I dressed nicely or in a suit or a nice tie that you got on, people see it as just attire versus it means something to you and what you stand for. So I think everybody that's watching it that don't know who I am, I would love to start seeing themselves as more than just their name or their sign, right? But who they are when there's no fans, there's no lights, there's no cameras, before they go to bed and how they see themselves. So I think that that's a kid that started from very humble beginnings that believes that the world is a lot more beautiful than what they portray. Mm. That would be my definition of that.
Now, you mentioned the humble beginnings, and I'm going to get to that. Now, I want to stick to where you are right now and the space that you are in life right now, man. You've risen to the top 1% of your organization, not once, not twice, but consistently.
Yeah.
Let's go back to, like, day one, though.
Yeah.
Right? People think about an organization like an Herbalife. Mm-hmm. It's like, how you get caught up in that, right? It's something to that extent. But if we go back to day one for you, what was going on in your life that you were like, you know what, I'm going to take a chance on this. I'm going to go and I'm going to do this that now has paid off dividends for you. But what about that first day? How was that first day of being a part of the organization?
I think a lot of people's first day starts before the first day, right? So I was talking to a mentee just yesterday about this conversation. And I had this thought process when I was younger that I'm supposed to be more than just paying my bills and dying, right? So I was the kid that when I would run and I would jump, I'd be like, there's no one in the world that can jump this high.
Yeah.
Then I would see somebody do it. And then I was the kid that when I was running, I'm like, nobody can run this fast. You know, you got your new shoes on, right? You got the tread on the bottom. You're running, you're like, nobody can run this fast. And then you would see somebody go faster. Well, I knew that, you know, I would sit at the table for hours and I would try to move a piece of paper with just my mind, right? And so it never happened, unfortunately, or else we'd be in a different situation,
right?
But I knew for sure that I was supposed to be more. Mm. But being in foster care and being physically beat at a young age, my situation and my surroundings never gave me evidence that my mind was on the right track. Mm. And so for me, my day one started with, I know I'm supposed to be more than where I'm at currently. And I think why I took full advantage of that situation is once you see an opportunity that gives you hope, I think a lot of people underestimate the word hope, because hope could be more than just financial gain. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, I've traveled to and spoken in over 47 countries, right? I've been to every continent besides Antarctica to share my story. But really what got me there day one was hope. Mm. Right. Like, I just was like, man, maybe I don't have to just be average. Right. I would look at my boss at the job that I was working and he wasn't healthy. He was always upset. He didn't like his living situation. He wasn't happy with the wife he had. He didn't like the car he drove. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's my future? No.
Yeah.
That can't be it. Yeah. Like, I'm here for more than just that. You know, does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. It does. It does. Now, what about that journey and that start kept you there? Because some people, and I'm sure, you know, you kind of, we talked about this. Over time, a lot of people don't stay within something or they don't develop within something. And you see people come and go over the amount of time. But what about this journey for you made you stick it out versus saying, all right, well, that was cool. I tried it and didn't see the long end of that.
Wow. Purpose.
That's a good word.
For me, I lost my mom at 9 years old to alcohol and medication. And I was there the day that my mom got sick. And I would go to the hospital and visit my mom. And it was a slow process of her passing away. And I was there the day that my mom passed away in the hospital. And so for me, the reason why I kept going when in the beginning it was challenging to help people and move their lives forward. One of the first people I helped on my journey lost some weight. He was feeling great about his life. He happened to be a doctor. So he had the education well past where I was at. Mm-hmm. And I just asked him, like, what was his experience like working with me? And he wrote me an entire page. And he talked about how I had impacted his life and I had added value to his life. And maybe because of me, his life was a lot better.
Wow.
And I started crying. I didn't have the money.
Yeah.
I didn't make, like, my financial gain was a few dollars.
Right.
But
right.
What he gave me in that moment was purpose.
Wow.
And I remember I got literally this sickening desire to chase that purpose. Mm-hmm. So purpose for me in the beginning was a lot more rewarding than the financial gain. And I got literally addicted to finding that purpose.
Yeah. It speaks to the heart. It speaks to truthfully knowing that is your purpose because that's what wakes you up. But I'm just assuming now, that's what wakes you up in the morning. That's what keeps you motivated throughout the day. That's what keeps you trying to acquire new clients, new distribution channels, and those things because you're now chasing that purpose. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Go ahead.
You had a long journey to find that purpose.
Mm.
You did. Again, I know more of the story than others might know. Do you ever look back on the early childhood and the traumas that you had to go through in that from a space of resentment, or do you look at it now and see it as that was just a part of the journey, and what did I develop out of that? Or do you, as a lot of us do, have some ill thoughts or things like that, some sort of resentment that you harbor towards that?
Well, I think I'm a firm believer in that two things can be right at the same time. And so I would love to dance with my mom again. I would love to be able to see her smile. I would love to be able to fly her around the world with me in first class.
Yeah.
Right? I would love to be able to show her that her son created more than just our situation. But the physical abuse in foster care and the mental emotional stress of all the challenges that I have, I wouldn't change them because I think they allow me to have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when you're in the pursuit to happiness, right, you, especially in a place like Los Angeles, the world, it becomes very much so a doggy dog world. Yeah. Like, I got to get mine. I'm going to get mine first. I love you, but I got to get mine first.
Yeah.
And I just decided, although I won't create success as quickly as others, I'd rather go slower and do it the right way.
Right.
And so for me, I think that became my past, allowed me to have that compassion. Because when I would go from one place in foster care to another place, I thought to myself, you know what people want more than anything? They want to feel seen, they want to feel heard, and they want to feel like they have a place they can call home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided in my lane, in my purpose, was to be that for people.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I was riding a bicycle and I was sleeping on a futon, if I said I was going to be somewhere to help work out with you or train you, no matter if it was raining, no matter if it was storming, I was going to be there. And I'd wait an hour sometimes for people to show up, right? Even if I had to ride the bike to get there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be that. So if it wasn't for my those sad nights and those long days and the sacrifices, I don't think that I would have that same level of compassion.
Yeah, I think the compassion comes into your gratitude as well. Like I said, you exude life from a space of appreciation of the moments, appreciation of relationships, appreciation of what you gain and you develop every day. And I think that comes down to that as well. It's all kind of mixed into it. And again, I'm just going based off of what I see in your life and the engagements, interactions that we have, the conversations that we have, and then how I also see you treat other people. And I think that that's really important when you think about leadership roles and how you've grown into a space of leadership.
Wow.
Right? As leaders, you know, as you develop and you build our team, you're looking for something in particular. And I want to go to, you know, again, how you've been able to grow this tremendous distribution network.
Yeah.
You started with the name Get Uncomfortable Squad. I don't know if you actually started with that, if that's a name that you have now.
Yeah.
Right? But what about getting uncomfortable resonated with you so much to where you like, this is what we're going to name ourselves, and to the moon we're going.
Yeah. It's funny. I think that, and I appreciate you saying the leadership thing for me. But what, you know what I think is true in our community or the people that have went through struggle? I believe a lot of them are leaders without a title, right? A lot of those young kids or those young men or even young women right now that went through challenges or loss, or they're in situations where they don't want to live in that house, or maybe there's people doing drugs around them. They learn leadership skills a lot faster, maybe just in a different context, maybe not in a school, or maybe they struggle with reading like I did, right? Even when I went into entrepreneurship, I struggled with reading, right? So the Get Uncomfortable Squad conversation became, you know, when you're outside of your comfort zone is when there's growth. And what does our organization want to achieve? Growth. So I was like, and you probably know this too, right? Because you've had some success in your career, and instead of worrying about your next meal, right now you're maybe planning your next travel. And inside of that, maybe that hunger and desire that we had in the very beginning, right? And I've had those days. I'll tell them myself, right? I'm not here to say pretend like I'm perfect,
right?
But that uncomfortable place allows you to stay hungry, and allows you to stay in a direction where you want to go. And so that name, I used to say it to one of my team members in the beginning. And she literally came to my house one day, and she had a shirt on that said, "Get Uncomfortable." And I was like, ah, let's go. And I got excited about what that moment. And then one of her friends got a bandana and put Get Uncomfortable. I was like, you know what? Maybe we build something here. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Let's start hashtagging it. Let's just. And it really came from that was our driving force to create more. Yeah.
I like that.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
You built it off of also, again, that comes back to leadership. I think one of the biggest things about the difference between leadership and management is leadership is all about bringing out the best of the people that are around you. Management is also always about checking out the task and getting through the task to achieve the goal of whatever the organization's goals is.
Okay.
Everybody that's a leader can't be everybody that's a manager is not a leader. And most people that are in management positions are likely actually truly not leaders. But as a leader in that role, you understood, well, shoot, if they're rallying around this, this is already bring out the best in them. So let's focus on that and help them to expand and help them to grow. Which you know, when you think about the organization that you're in, the type of marketing and those kind of things, would you say it's more important for you to grow, or do you think it's more important for those that are around you to grow and reciprocate yourself to them?
I think this is the part where I think two things can be right. and wrong at the same time, because I think the mistake, the biggest mistake people make in leadership or in these kind of organizations is they hope for their team to grow, because then it's going to put more money in their pocket or it's going to increase their livelihood. But they forget, right? Like, you're only going to grow as far as your mind can handle.
Yeah.
As far as your, like, your income's going to be, it's going to match your personal growth. Right. Right. So I really do believe it's both.
Got you. Got you. Like, when you, the first time, right? So thinking through that it is both, a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's think through how you got to where you are, right? Yeah. The first time that you were able to go out on that stage, you're out in the back of the stage and they're saying, we got speaker coming out right now. You've seen him, you've heard him. Style Bell. You go on the stage and there's thousands of people there and all the lights, and you're looking like, oh shoot.
Yeah.
Like, what was that first moment, and where were you that first time you got invited to go speak somewhere that was just blew your mind? Like, y'all want me to come speak where?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I could do that.
Yeah. I think that it's funny you say that. Those moments started with what you talked about before, those uncomfortable leadership moments. I remember just being the guy that when no one else would do it, I would say, I got it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's why I think there's so many leaders without a title. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, there's people that are going to be watching your podcast, and some people look at them like they're not really value because they work in the bathroom and they give you the gum or they clean the toilets. But if they're cleaning those toilets like Picasso would, what would you call them?
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a difference between you going to a clean restroom and not a clean restroom. Am I right?
Facts.
Right? And so it's all about how that person sees their life. And so for me, those moments started on my couch. Right. I was scared to death, man. Mm-hmm. Believe before I went to the stage, those moments started on the couch. I would invite a few people over to my house because I had no car. And they would come to my house and I would ask them their goals and their dreams and what do they want to achieve. And I remember I had roommates, and my roommates would come home from work and I'd be like, everybody say hi to them. Right. And my roommates would walk into the house and it would be 10 people sitting in the living room. And they wouldn't speak to him because they was upset, obviously. Who wants to get off work?
He got 10 people.
And I started asking them questions that I would just listen to on YouTube, right? I would listen to, like, Eric Thomas and Les Brown and Tony Robbins. Because I didn't have a father in my life. Those people, in a way, became my father, right? And so I would hear what they would say, and I would just ask other people how they felt. Mm-hmm. And then when they would say, my wildest dreams is I just want to... a new Honda, and I would say, dream bigger. And they looking at me like, you ain't even got no car. Yeah. Like, you know, so before I got on the stage, and I want people to understand this, those moments before you get on the stage, before you travel, before you start a brand and a business, it starts well before that. Those uncomfortable moments where it was more scary to be on the couch, and I've spoken in front of 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 people. I was more scared on the couch than I was in front of the 50,000 people.
Mm. You get like a buffer when you go against the 50,000 people.
Yeah.
Or you think, because you, in those instances, you don't necessarily have to come back and forth with somebody. It's the intimacy.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the grand scale, the grand stage. I'm there. Yes, people are learning and tapping into me. Mm. But they're not as intimate in those moments. Now, granted, people catch you off the stage and those kind of things, they kind of break those down. But was it strictly because of how intimate those moments were? That
I was broke.
Oh,
I was poor.
That too.
Yeah. I was sleeping on a futon in a place I wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
We couldn't even afford to put my name on a lease because they charged an extra $100 for the rent. And so I would pretend like I was knocking on the door as I was opening it with the key.
Because the
landlord lived in the same building.
Yeah.
And when you're talking to people about how you can help them change their lives, but they're picking you up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those moments were a lot more challenging because I had faith and I had belief and I had hope, but I had no physical proof that what I was saying would actually work.
Right.
So when I got on the stage, I had already changed thousands of lives.
Right.
I had already impacted people's, you know, financially. I had already shown people that they could see the tangible things. So that's what made it easier. It was like in the beginning, I didn't have those things. Yeah.
Once you hit a point of success, as we'll call it, right? I know that you and I have conversations around, well, what actually is success? Yeah, I'm cool right now and those kind of things. For me, if I don't get back here, is that not successful? Uh-huh. But if I didn't get back here, but I was able to do other things, would I still call that success? Do you still kind of feel that way about the term success? On, you know, how is it measured? How is it not measured? What's your thoughts on the word that's overly used that says, he's a success or she's a success, but we don't know the journey, the struggle, or what they're going through to where I can't call you successful if I don't know what you deem as success.
Yeah, I think my first thought is when people talk about success, I like to ask them for them, what does success mean to them?
Yeah,
right. So I hate to ask you this, but what does success mean to you?
Truthfully, for me, success lies in the impact of other people that were in my presence. Mm. Like for me, everything that we do on this platform goes back to how am I helping other men feel better about themselves, feel more confident about themselves, and feel empowered to go out and do whatever they want to do.
Wow.
And so for me, the success lies in, yes, we're growing a platform that has a lot of people that follow us, but the success for me is not in the fact that we have 400-some thousand followers. The success for me is the impact of the 5,000 guys that listen to the podcast.
Wow.
Or the 500 guys that come to a couple of flash mobs. Mm-hmm. Or the individual that saw the Dapper Conversation series. Or they saw the story that we did with the brand partnership that allowed us to elevate the Black doctor. Mm-hmm. Really, that's for me, that's what success lies in. Are the people that are around me better off after they've met me or after they've come across our platform than they were before?
Wow. So in contrast to that, my answer to you is you've done exactly that. Like even for me, in a way that, I've done a lot of those things that we talked about, being able to speak around the world. But my voice in an aspect of like man to man conversations of leadership and being a part of some of the things you've invited me to, I didn't have access to talk to those people.
Yeah.
And you welcomed me, your team welcomed me into, open arms, like, hey, man, and I felt better as a Black man. And it was more than just a suit.
Yeah.
So when I think about what you just said, you've done that exactly with me in my life, right? Mm. And you've never asked for anything, right? You've only given. And so, thank you.
I did ask you to stay to crib that one time.
You did ask me to spend a night. You did. But I did kind of tell you, hey, man, if you ever need
something. If you need
something,
let me know.
I did say that. And so thank you to that. Because I think to hear you say what's successful to you and then to be a testament of that means a lot. And so in that aspect, when it comes to success, for me, I think it's for anyone that's watching this, it's about having options, right? And I think that first starts with the option of being able to get home safe.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in our community, especially for the young entrepreneurs, because a lot of them, they're working all day, like I did.
Yeah.
They're getting off work, and then they're working their entrepreneur career, or they're starting their brand, or they're making that new T-shirt or that new clothing line, or they're starting to put people in suits, or they're making their music when it may be an unsafe environment for them.
Yeah.
And so I think success would be them being able to lay in their bed, man, and go to sleep. You know what I mean? And not have to worry about something happening to them or losing their life.
Right.
But for me, I think success too is I like having options. And what I mean by that is I remember thinking when I was poor, right? And I was like a young entrepreneur and being in wellness and like I love fitness, right? I'm like, man, one day I want to walk into Nike or Adidas and just spend like $2,000. Like that sounded like a lot of money to me, right? And I was like, I'm going to buy all the shoes. I'm going to get the watches And I was like, that was one of my goals as success.
Right.
And the funny thing about it, bro, when I had the money, I went into the store and I couldn't find one shirt I even liked.
Right.
And so, but what I remember leaving there laughing like, man, I've been waiting all these years to be able to do this. And I can't find one thing. I guess when you pour, things look nicer, right?
Yeah, true.
And but when I got in my car, I was like, you know what I love more than even actually buying anything? Having the option to get exactly what I wanted if I wanted it.
Yeah.
So I think for me, success has a lot to do with having the option. So if it's the option to take your wife around the world or if it's the option to spend time with your kids versus have to go into work, I think that is what success is whatever that option is for you. Small house, big house, it don't matter.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's the options. Well, my brother Style Bell. I got one last question for you before we get off here on the check-in. How's the love life of a quarantine bae?
Man, I didn't know we was talking about love life conversations on this. I'm going to drink this water. This water is delicious. Man, one thing I have not figured out. That's cold.
So slide, just that, water. Slide that in there.
No, but I will say this. I think that on that note, for anyone that's watching this, I think love starts with loving yourself first. And I'm going to say this because although I grew in the foster care system and I created a very successful business and I've made a ton of, you know, financial gain in the process of being able to impact people's lives. And, you know, I've done a lot for the homeless. And all of those things are great. But what happened to me is a few years in, after all of that, I was coming down my stairs in the morning and I had this overwhelming feeling of depression. And I did a mental check. I'm like, did someone text me something crazy? Did somebody write me something crazy? Am I arguing with anybody? And none of those things were true. And I was like, out of habit, out of habit, because life goes good and then bad for a lot of us. Right. Out of habit, I went back down. And that's when I made a mental check and goes, man, out of habit, I'm having these terrible thoughts and challenging moments.
Yeah.
And I decided now that I have created a lifestyle and I don't have to worry about my next meal or how to pay my rent, now I'm going to really work on who I am. And I think a lot of times people, not just men or women, but people need to understand it's not just the car or the suit or the house or the money. It's actually who you are. Give a person a chance to really figure out who they are when they have no more trauma, not trauma, but when they don't have to worry about how they're going to eat.
Right.
Because that guy, I used to just worried about those things.
Right.
That's a different guy than who I am today.
For sure.
And so that would be my answer to that is give a person a chance to really know who they are so they can fall in love.
Yeah.
With their person.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense,
yeah,
man.
But thanks for throwing me off like that. Appreciate that.
It makes a lot of sense, man. But not Style Bell, my brother, man, we appreciate you coming by to check in. Your story, again, those that don't know, if you have not heard it, tap into it, go to, how can they follow you? How can they touch with you?
Man, Instagram would be the best option for them. It's at Sir Style.
Yep.
I do my best too to put out content for everybody. So yeah, that would be a great tool.
Follow the journey from motivation to health, eating right, your mental health, the people that are around you, man. I love following because I love being poured into through the content that you create. So guys, go follow him at Sir Style on Instagram. If you're interested in joining the Get Uncomfortable Squad, you can join. You can go and you can click the link in bio for him and fill out a questionnaire. See if you're up to the challenge. If you're ready to get uncomfortable and expand your horizons. But Style, man, I appreciate you, my brother. Yeah. As always, guys. As always, if you like this episode, of course you like the episode because you listened to it from here, from the start to this point. Share it with somebody. Somebody else needs to hear the testimonies of Style's life. Somebody else needs to hear the obstacles that Style's been able to overcome. Somebody else needs to hear the passion behind what Style is and understanding his purpose. So share it with them. Like, subscribe it as well. But we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Let's go.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.